Merrill Blau, and today is September 15th, 2000. Okay. Let's go. Last we were talking, we were at Lagon, and early on we were given our assignments, and I don't know if you recall getting your assignments.
I think I was one of the early ones to get an assignment.
Uh-huh.
I don't remember exactly when, but either I was one of the first to go to my assignment or I got my assignment earlier.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember exactly how I was informed. I do remember that, and I may have mentioned this in the last time you were here, that my headmaster-to-be came all the way from Cape Coast to visit me in at Lagon.
Yeah. Do you remember having the reaction that you were being assigned alone and to Cape Coast?
I don't remember that being something that I thought a good deal about, because I didn't know that much about Cape Coast. A few of us went to Cape Coast. I was alone in my school of the Peace Corps volunteers.
Right. Who else was there?
Maureen was at Holy Child.
Okay.
John Demas was there.
The second year. At Addis Ababa.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
I had also Jim Kelly, I think, was there.
Second year. Because first year, John was at Marion and Penny School, or Quapperman, and Jim Kelly was at a small school outside Kumasi.
I'm wondering why they moved the second year.
Well, Jim said he felt he wasn't being well used there. It was a school like I was at, maybe form, just first form, first and second form. And I think George wanted to get more teachers into prestige schools simply to establish that we weren't simply teachers for the Bush schools. And some of the same reasoning, I believe, for John, with John's transfer. So, and there were replacements who went to those schools, so it wasn't as if they were bereft. When Ghanatu came in, the holes were filled in. Can you describe the school? We were talking about it before, but is it right? I don't recall its location.
It was right off one of the main roads.
Mm-hmm.
I remember clearly there being a long hill that you drove up, and the school was situated on top of the hill with fairly barren surroundings that they hadn't yet, I don't think, developed any gardens or lawns,
mm-hmm.
but that several large buildings, pale color, I think I remember, sort of a grayish or pinkish,
mm-hmm.
and the buildings were either large dormitories or classrooms, and then several houses that I think I heard you refer to it as bungalows,
yeah.
around for the faculty, and fields for the students to play in.
The buildings must have been fairly large, because what was the student population?
Well, there were six forms,
okay.
and I'd say, a few hundred probably. I don't recall.
Yeah. And initially, were you given a house to yourself?
Yes, I think I always had this house either to myself or I shared with a Ghanaian teacher.
And
I had two Ghanaian roommates, or housemates, I should say, at different periods.
Yeah.
And part of the time I was also alone.
One of the culture shocks some people went through was suddenly having to deal with servant questions, steward. What was your situation?
Exactly that.
Yeah.
I was, along with a house, there was a houseboy, as he was called, and who was at my beck and call.
Arranged for by the school?
I don't recall how originally he was arranged. And he was a very, very pleasant young man who had, I guess, worked for English people before,
mm-hmm.
and so he was trained in the cooking. But I think after a while, I told him I didn't need his services anymore. I was uncomfortable with the whole arrangement, And I think I ended up doing my own cooking, if I remember correctly.
How was it after a few weeks, a few months? Do you remember?
I don't remember.
Yeah. You may have been hesitant to do it because there was an expectation, I think.
Yes.
That you have such a person.
And I think he worked for Maureen for a while after he worked for me. I think that happened.
I forgot what I was going to say. Oh, was being a Peace Corps volunteer any part of your decision to let him go, or was it just personal discomfort?
Well, it was personal discomfort in that being a Peace Corps volunteer, that was not my vision of what I would be doing.
Oh, okay.
And I also think I preferred not to have to worry about telling somebody what I was going to eat and when. And
were you able to do your own shopping then?
I think I did.
Yeah.
It was interesting. That's how I became friends with a variety of people on the faculty, mm-hmm. because they had cars and I didn't, and I would be driven when they would go shopping. I'd hitch a ride.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's not a terribly awkward arrangement, I don't think. You probably arrived before school opened. You had a couple days to settle in.
Mm-hmm.
Was there an early faculty meeting?
Ah, such wonderful details you're asking. I wish I could remember all this. Probably.
How did you find out your teaching schedule, what you were going to be teaching?
I think our headmaster was quite efficient, and I think he told me, and I was teaching French at various levels that I remember.
Mm-hmm. And that was it, just French?
I was teaching just French. I don't think I ever taught anything but French.
But that wasn't, was that you? That was not one of your strong fields, was it?
Sure, I had just received my Master's of Arts in Teaching in French.
Okay.
I had been a history major in college, but spent my junior year in France.
Ah, okay.
And then did a year of graduate work to get my Master's of Arts in Teaching in French. So I had been trained as a French teacher.
Yeah. So you were very comfortable with the assignment?
Absolutely, yes.
And
because that's actually what I had been. If I hadn't entered the Peace Corps, I probably would have been teaching French someplace else.
Yeah. Do you recall if you initially had fifth form or sixth form assigned to you?
I think maybe fourth form was the highest. I remember first, second, and fourth comes to my mind.
Was there another?
But I might have had a sixth form.
Because with either a fifth or a sixth, you're faced with the immediate prospect of the exam.
Yes, I remember preparing for the exam.
Okay, and nervous about it, or the students question you, or?
I wasn't particularly nervous about the exam.
Yeah.
Nowhere near the way I was nervous the last few years teaching in the United States about the various state exams that are coming up.
Interesting. I mean, because
it wasn't in my, I didn't grow up perhaps knowing that much about the importance of the exam, and I do think I felt prepared for it.
Mm-hmm.
The major thing I think that was different was in my training as a French teacher, there was a lot of emphasis on speaking and less on the text,
mm-hmm.
and I was expected to do more drill work on grammar and the text.
Do you remember if you had had the syllabus to go by, and if you had copies of past exams?
I believe I did, and there were several other French teachers who were very helpful on the staff who helped me. Both, I think all the French teachers might have been expatriates, either from
Well, one was from Togo, I thought.
Maybe, you're right, but I don't think there were any Ghanaian French teachers.
Yeah. What was your teaching schedule? What was your ordinary day like? Did you teach all day, or were there breaks in between?
I had breaks in between, but yeah. I had a tight schedule as well. And once again, having taught in this country for the past 30 years, I don't remember feeling the breathlessness that I feel teaching in this country.
Interesting.
Yeah. I do remember having a schedule, but never remember feeling too overloaded by it.
Other than the question of French, and I assume you try to teach in French?
I did.
Yeah. So the kids didn't have any trouble with your American accent because you were speaking French?
Much of the time.
Yeah.
But outside the classroom, of course,
yeah,
I was encouraged to speak English. I remember when I first arrived, I wanted to try out my Twi and learn their languages. Mm-hmm. But actually, I do recall that our headmaster encouraged us to speak English because he wanted the students to become more proficient in English.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember them having too much difficulty with my accent.
Okay. So there's a whole generation of Ghanaians who speak French with a New York accent.
I mean my accent in English.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't remember.
What additional duties did you have?
As I mentioned to you earlier, I know I was house mistress, meaning that I was in charge of the girls' dormitory. There was one girls' dormitory with about 100 girls. Mm. Now that I say that, then there couldn't have been a few hundred students. I remember I had 100 girls and they were about 50%.
Oh.
I think there weren't that many more boys. Maybe the boys, so I'd say there may be 200 or 300 students,
yeah,
maybe. At any rate, I was in charge of the girls. My house was catty-cornered to the dormitory,
uh-huh,
maybe just a quarter of a block away, if I may use New York terms,
mm-hmm,
from the dormitory. Yeah. And it was my duty to just sort of roam the halls of the dormitory, make sure everything was under control. But as you said, the prefects took a lot of responsibilities. And I don't remember having much difficulty as a house mistress or having any major crises come up. There were 100 girls living in one big, large room.
Do you remember any incidents or experiences in your role as house mistress? Students coming to you?
Students would come regularly to my home,
yeah,
talk with me, and did have minor problems, but I don't remember any specific crisis right now.
Yeah.
And I've been dean of girls at a boarding school here during the summer, and within 5 weeks, two or three crises will have occurred.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I mean by I don't remember there being issues that were very difficult to deal with.
And there may have been that were resolved in ways that you weren't aware of.
Perhaps.
I mean, yeah.
Perhaps. I also took on various extracurricular activities. I remember clearly that folk dancing was one of my loves, and I decided to teach folk dancing to the students, and they took to it. Mm. And when I look back on it now, it was sort of audacious on my part, but it was something I did.
What was the setting for the folk dancing? It was an after-school thing.
Yeah.
In a classroom?
I think so. Or outside, I think we also did it.
Yeah, that would make sense. And what kind of music did you use?
I think I had some records.
So it was American?
Well, no, it was international folk dancing, and that was something that I had done through college.
Uh-huh.
And just, brought maybe some records with me.
Yeah. Did you tend to stay on the compound, or did you travel around like many of us did?
All the vacations I traveled.
Well, weekends even.
Weekends I didn't so much.
Yeah.
No, I'd say I stayed on the campus or compound most of the time, except during the vacations. And I had lots of activities and friends. I think I, you know, got to know my colleagues. And
both
I
Ghanaian and expatriate.
Both Ghanaian and expatriate, and had some good friends.
Yeah.
And spent most of my time with them.
Have you kept contact with any of them?
Unfortunately, no. I wish I had.
Yeah.
For a while, for a few years, I think we were in contact. I remember I attended the wedding of one of my housemates, mm-hmm, while I was in Ghana, and I think I was in contact with her for a little while.
Yeah.
She didn't stay the entire 2 years at the school.
Yeah.
I heard from a few students for a few years after that, but have lost contact with people now, which I feel very sad about. There's people I'd love to know how they are now, what they're doing.
Yeah. And vacations, did you travel? Christmas?
Yes, one vacation. I know I went to the Ivory Coast, another I went to Ouagadougou in Upper Volta, which is now, I guess, Burkina Faso.
Yeah.
Went to the Cameroons.
You didn't go to the Cameroons with Didi, did you?
I think I went with Newell. Did he? Was that the same?
No. It was...
And a student of Newell's, I think?
Margaret, right.
Right.
With whom he's still in contact, and who he saw when he was in Ghana fairly recently. I'll tell you about that later.
And then in the summer, my parents came over.
Oh.
And with them, I went to Nigeria.
Uh-huh.
And then to Israel and Libya.
And Libya. You could go from Israel
to Libya? It was very difficult. I forget which we did first. Good question. I'm not sure. Yeah. But it was very difficult because we had to be very cautious about our background.
I don't know if you recall.
And we couldn't, I think, have an Israeli visa stamped on our passport.
Right, that part I recall from some other context. That there was a clear policy from the Peace Corps office that for our summer vacations, we were expected to take no more than 4 weeks. We were not to go to Europe, and we were also to do a project. Okay, you don't recall?
I now have a vague memory, and I know I had all sorts of projects planned, but...
Anyway.
I do remember now. I did start a project. I had a huge tape recorder, and just as you're going around taping people and interviewing us, I had all good intentions of going into the villages and taping people, and I did tape some music. In fact, I still have
music.
I still have some big tapes
from
those days, in which I did tape some music, and I think I may have interviewed some people as well. And I don't have. But I don't have the tape recorder to play it, and I did save the tapes.
If you're really interested, you may find an audio service that'll put them on cassettes.
I would love to try that.
Yeah.
I think even in the picture where we're getting on the plane, I'm weighted down on one shoulder because I had this huge tape recorder that I carried with me.
Yeah.
Because I was going to be the, you know, real roving reporter. Exactly.
And you only did it just a few times. And
I was pretty serious about it for a while.
Yeah. Where'd you go? I mean, you don't just walk into a village.
No, but I think I made some contacts with people in the area.
You don't recall how?
Just by speaking to people. And I do think that was my project.
You must have had an informant.
I think maybe students, families, and
And these were real villages. It wasn't.
Yeah. Well, you didn't have to go very far to go to a real village, even though we were in Cape Coast.
Oh yeah, I know. Yeah. People accepted the fact that you were there with the tape recorder.
Yeah, but I didn't do it.
They said, "Here comes the National Geographic again."
I don't think I did it extensively.
Yeah.
But now that you mention a project, I think I did something along those lines. What were some of the other projects people did? That you're bringing back a whole set of memories.
Some clinics, some built a school library. It was a mix of things. Didi actually went and worked with the social welfare department up in the Ashanti region.
I might have done something, worked with some. I'd have to remember that.
But you don't recall the flap about, you know, you can't go to Europe, or yes, I can, and a bunch of people did, in defiance of George's ruling?
No, I don't remember that.
Oh, okay.
I guess I obeyed, because my parents, I think we just went to Libya. Maybe that's why we ended up going to Libya. I don't know.
Well, Also, there were various political crises that were occurring in the country, I mean, mostly in Accra. And at times, George would inform us that there was difficulty. We were called together the first Easter for a meeting in Accra. And I think we stayed at Legon. It was kind of under the aegis of the ministry. And at one point, maybe the first night there, we all went to George's house to meet, and the shutters were pulled.
I do remember that, and the cease and desist started then?
Yes, and what does that mean? You remember?
I think that we weren't supposed to talk about any political matters.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah. Did it make any sense at all to you, or did it
made me nervous?
Oh, okay.
I think I became very, very nervous about what I said, where I said it, when I said it.
You mentioned that, but also you mentioned that Ghana National was a particularly a special school.
Right. I think that the school I was teaching at was begun by Nkrumah, or at some definite direct connection to him.
Mm-hmm.
So that we had students from government families, and probably some of the faculty were very close to Ghana, Nkrumah.
Yeah, but you were, I mean, how was that manifested, there being political? I mean, other than knowing the background.
Many of the students were young pioneers, is that what they were called?
Young pioneers, yeah.
I think there were political rallies in town, and I believe there was some talk about them at school.
Did anyone ever, any Ghanaian, ever look at you and say, you're a rotten colonialist, imperialist, or CIA spy?
I don't think anybody treated me in any way other than just as an individual.
Yeah.
But I was careful. In fact, there were several Ghanaian faculty members who would speak extremely freely.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd be scared for them.
Yeah, yeah.
And I would try not to say something even in their presence, but I knew that they were very open about some of their disagreements.
Mm-hmm. Just at the beginning of our second year, there was the incident at the northern border when a bomb was thrown at Nkrumah. And at that point, there was a lot of nervousness. And if you traveled at all back and forth to Accra, you would have encountered police checkpoints. In fact, several of them. Is that familiar at all?
And maybe slightly, but I think I became used to the idea that I have to be careful and there may be surveillance.
Uh-huh. Did you ever have any evidence that there was?
I think just after the postcard incident in Nigeria, and I think I may have sent a postcard fairly recently. And I thought to myself, I mean, I had sent a postcard. I don't think I sent anything on there that was in any way insensitive.
Mm-hmm.
But I began to realize how tactful I ought to be. And I did not think of myself always as a tactful person. So I knew that wasn't always my strength.
Did it inhibit you with your Ghanaian friends?
Maybe a little. Didn't inhibit me as a friend. I just knew I had to be careful.
Yeah,
Excuse me?
Go ahead. Sorry.
I didn't need to get into that many political discussions, but I was just very conscious of it.
Yeah. So then.
You said you didn't. You were about to say.
I didn't. I don't recall having had a lot of political discussions with people.
Yeah.
Although I taught adult ed. And I would teach communism and, you know, I would teach about the Cold War and about Nkrumahism. But there was an interesting bunch of students. Second year, pretty much the same as the first?
I had similar duties for the 2 years, as I recollect it.
Uh-huh. And
the major differences were, as I said, some of the time I had a Ghanaian housemate,
mm-hmm.
both of whom I liked very, very much. And so that would be some variation.
Did you ever think back to, well, I joined the Peace Corps, why did I do it? Is this what I wanted? Is you know, am I having a Peace Corps adventure? Or?
I don't think I ever regretted or wondered about it in that way, no.
Uh-huh.
I think I was just putting my emphasis on teaching and traveling. And
did you visit any of the other members of the group who were in bush schools?
Yeah.
Did you say, oh, well, I'm sorry, I didn't get this, or I'm glad I can be...
I visited several of our members, but I don't recall anybody living in very difficult circumstances, uh-huh. even though I went to several people's places.
Yeah.
I'm sure some did, but I don't think, I mean, either I didn't visit them or I don't remember people talking about it too much.
Did you know Ray Spriggs?
Sure.
Did you visit him or?
Mm-hmm.
Do you have any impression of him?
I just remember enjoying him as a person.
Yeah.
I don't think, what town was he in?
Second Itakarati.
Which was not far from me.
Not that far.
Yeah. I don't think I went there, no.
Yeah. How about Dee Dee? Did you?
Dee Dee, I was close to and would visit her.
When you went to Accra?
When I went to Accra, yes.
Secondhand, of course. Do you have any sense of what her experience was like as she was, you know, being a volunteer or teaching or living in Accra?
A rich and rewarding one. I don't remember her complaining, or I remember her enjoying it.
Uh-huh.
I got to know, Dee Dee was one that I kept in contact with after Ghana, because we were both studying in New York for the year after,
Okay, we'll...
Yeah.
In a little while, we'll get to that point too. Second year, same pattern pretty much with the teaching and the travel. You travel vacation times.
And just more comfortable with the whole setup and more comfortable with the teaching. And I don't think I became really a part of the environment without thinking too much, oh, I'm in Ghana, I'm in West Africa.
Uh-huh.
It was just the challenge from day to day of teaching experience.
Yeah, okay. As the second year was coming to an end, what plans did you have? I mean, you had come in clearly having prepared yourself for a teaching career.
I had already applied, actually. Earlier when I said I would have been teaching French, that might not have been the case because I had already applied to Teachers College in their Department of Social and Philosophical Foundations of Education,
mm-hmm.
and might have done that and was able to postpone my year there.
Yeah.
So on my return, I knew that that's what I was going to do. And my focus then became international education at Teachers College. That was the department I was in.
International ed.
That was a department of the Social and Philosophical Foundations of Education.
Mm-hmm. And what did you envision to do with your doctorate if you got it?
I don't think I thought that far ahead.
Oh, okay.
I think that was when my father said to me, when he knew I was studying international education also, restrain your influence, sarcastically, because I envisioned perhaps working at some international organization.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And I had thought about going for my doctorate and did stop after my master's. And I remember thinking that when I moved to Wallingford, Connecticut, when my husband got the job, that there weren't too many international organizations in Wallingford, Connecticut. I did finish I wrote my master's thesis when I was at the first year that we came to the Choate School where my husband got a job. So, and I wrote my master's thesis on the students from different countries studying at Choate.
Oh. So you've lived here for a long time.
Absolutely. We've been here since... You didn't realize that?
No.
We've been here since 1964.
Okay. What influence do you think Peace Corps has had or had at the time on your life choices, the direction in your life, if any?
Oh, definitely enormous.
Uh-huh.
I just don't think in terms of local places. I don't think of any place as foreign.
Mm-hmm.
I hear people in Connecticut worried about going to New York because it's so different.
Yeah.
Or people will say to me that their sister or brother lives far away, and it turns out it's probably in another town in Connecticut. Maybe instead of 15 minutes, maybe...
They sound good and they're easy to transcribe. But we're talking about the influence of the 2 years, the possible influence.
It's just
of the two
my
years.
Whole perspective is... I don't know what it was... I wouldn't say it was too provincial before.
Uh-huh.
I had done some traveling, having spent my junior year in France particularly.
Mm.
But I just don't think in terms of otherness, perhaps, now.
Yeah.
And I think I'm much more sensitive to cultural differences between people, and don't judge people based on certain narrow cultural frameworks.
Do you have a sense, looking back, as to why you joined the Peace Corps and as to whether you were satisfied that you had met whatever was expressed then?
I think it was a combination of an adventuresome spirit and idealistic spirit.
Uh-huh. And particularly on the idealistic side, I think the adventure certainly was there. You didn't become cynical that, you can't really influence and change things. I mean, what did the idealism...
It didn't diminish.
Or,
no, it. I don't know. Fortunately, unfortunately, I think it's still with me.
Well, good.
And I keep trying.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I remember when I was at Yale doing my master's. The Reverend Sloan Coffin came to speak. This was when the Peace Corps was just beginning.
Yeah.
And one of his speeches influenced me, and I think he said something. He has such a good way of expressing complex thoughts into some simple expression, and he said something about doing the right thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I was influenced by that, I believe.
Were your parents satisfied that you had done the right thing?
My parents were worried when I went into the Peace Corps. They were not fully behind the idea. It was unusual for anybody to go to travel any place other than Europe.
Yeah.
They had done a lot of traveling in Europe, but had never traveled elsewhere, I don't believe.
Were you tempted to invite them to come visit you in Ghana?
I did.
Oh, they did?
They did.
That's
visit
right,
me.
Yes. How long were they there?
Probably a couple of weeks, and then we traveled together.
A couple of weeks?
Yeah.
Where'd they go? Where did you all go?
Oh, no, they came to visit me.
So, yeah.
And they stayed with me for a while, and I think at Accra for a while.
Uh-huh.
And then we traveled together to Nigeria.
Well, just for the Ghana bit, where they must have suffered culture shock of some sort. Not they must have.
They must have. I don't remember them being very shocked or in any way. I think they were well prepared.
Yeah.
And remember, I had a nice house they could stay in.
Yeah.
I don't.
Yeah.
It's very good questions because
yeah.
I don't have a vivid memory. I have a vivid memory of them in certain locations,
yeah.
so I know they were there.
Yeah.
But I don't remember, you know, the daily routine when they were there, like where they slept or what we ate. But they must have been there for a few days.
Yeah. Well, it's funny because you scale your expectations to the environment you're in and you enjoy it fully. But then when someone comes from outside and looks with new eyes or old eyes, whatever, you suddenly feel, you mean, what are those open, what is in those open drains? You know, after, it's a fact of life. You know, you
yeah.
ignore it, you live around. But someone coming in new, and then suddenly you feel guilty that, you know, it's somehow your fault, or, you know.
But my parents were very adventuresome also.
Uh-huh, okay.
And so I don't remember, and I'd been there already for a year, so
yeah.
they,
yeah.
And wrote frequently.
Did they meet Carter?
I don't remember. They may have, I don't remember.
You didn't introduce, that's terrible.
I would have been glad to introduce them, I just don't know if our paths crossed.
Yeah. So they had a chance to see the environment in which you were working. And
yes.
Did they go away less worried or more worried?
I think less.
Okay.
They weren't worried after I arrived and wrote to them. They
yeah.
didn't stay worried. They just weren't sure if it was the right decision about my going. But once I got accepted and went through the training, I think they were excited for me.
Do you have any evidence at all that either during your service or after your service, they would boast to anybody that
Oh, I think
Merrill's
they did.
In the Peace Corps?
Oh, sure. I'm sure they did.
How do you know?
Because I think they talked about it with pride.
Yeah. Okay. There wasn't a major shift in career emphasis from before to after.
No, and I had never had a direct career path, but I had trained to be a teacher, so this was, and I had trained to be a French teacher.
Mm-hmm.
So no, the career path was following a similar path.
Once you settled in here at Choate, or into the life here, married life, and you taught at Choate, didn't you?
No, I taught at Choate during the summers.
Okay.
Many summers I taught at Choate, but I was always during the year a public school teacher.
Did you ever feel that you wanted to get back overseas? You would like to repeat or
sure.
meet a...
Often.
Yeah.
Fortunately, there were many summers that we, as a teacher, we had the summers off.
Yeah.
So there was a period, particularly in the 70s, where we would travel a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And since my husband's from India, we could travel far. We would travel to visit his family and stay with his family in both in India and in Malaysia.
Mm-hmm.
And then usually stop off at other places en route.
Yeah.
So that satisfied my travel.
That must have been satisfying, too, to be able to absorb more of being in India than had you never been. You know, the Ghana experience somehow made you aware of what it meant to move about in another culture.
Exactly. I think that was definitely helpful.
It's a real plus. And Ghanaians are pretty good people. That's about it. The service and then the period after, I'm trying to, with some people the changes I think were more dramatic perhaps. The influence of having been in for the 2 years was a little bit more dramatic, some big life changes, but not all of it. I mean, it was a good experience for many who just then went on, you know, in a slightly different track. Now, were there any corrections you wanted to make from the previous tape?
I think I just mentioned that I think I, instead of saying Grof's name. I had said Don Grof's name when I talked about
something
related to teaching of French.
Did you sing on the airplane, or did you play cards, or neither?
One thing I know is I wrote on the airplane. I think I started to, I was determined to keep a journal.
Right.
And I just did for a little while. I didn't do it regularly, and I wrote lots of letters.
Did you ever find them and look at them?
I think I still have them.
And in looking, well, we don't have to